today I get to talk about my favorite thing, which is sales. I'm a person who loves selling because I believe selling is about building community, and it's never been more important today than to build a community. The idea of sales is to build a community of people that want to help each other and know people that can help each other. You want to build that community in person, on the phone, via email, and media. And why do you want to build that community? Because the things that I've learned about community, when you build a community specifically of people who want to help you and know people that can help you, you have a community that does two things for your life, and it will guarantee your success. The first thing is they buy from you for life. The second thing is they sell for you for life. When you focus in on providing value in person, on the phone, email, social media to people to help them and know people that can help them and vice versa, you'll have a community that will buy for you from life and sell for you for life. And it's guaranteed to provide you the success that you have, utilizing the passion and the purpose that you desire in order to create the profitability that allows you to have the options to do whatever you want, to have the freedom, the opportunities, the options, the touches of favor that profit brings us all. And there's five different steps. I call it the five to thrive, because when we build that community, we're thriving. When we build a community that buys from us and sells for us, it grows at an exponential rate, it accelerates, it aggregates more and more people to an amount that you'll never even imagine. And the first step of thriving, of building this community, is to stimulate interest. And the way that we stimulate interest is to do one thing, and it's not as obvious as most people would think. It is to stimulate interest to do one thing, to get people to call us back. That's it, to get back to us. So many people think we need to stimulate interest about our vision, but that's really not the case anymore, because we're not in a place today where you only have three or four people that you can contact, that you call from. You know, I asked a group this weekend, I was teaching a mastermind up in LA, and I said, and there are more people my age, by the way, and I said, how long 10 years ago would it take you to get into touch with 1,000 people? How long would it take you 10 years ago? Some of you may be old enough to answer this. Jesse, yeah, me. 10 years ago, how long would it take you, Jesse, to get in touch with 1,000 people?
So, I mean, that's a lot. I mean, I used to think 15 people on a sales team was big. When I had a door-to-door sales team, that was
right,
a massive team. You know, now we have close to 70, so, but it's through social media.
Right, today. So, most people say over a month it would take them personally to get in touch with 1,000 people. Then I asked, how long does it take you today? Some people said about 30 seconds. The average was about an hour. So instead of stimulating interest to share a vision, what we really want to stimulate interest is, because of the size, scope, and scale of the accessible communities that we have, is to get people to get back to us in person, on the phone, via email, and especially media. Think about this. If we can get in touch with 1,000 people every hour, and out of that 1,000 people, 10 people get back to us, there's a certain outcome that we know, determined upon our own skills, knowledge, and desire in sales, our own ability to articulate value to exceed what we're asking for. And if I can teach you to get 11 people to get back to you, or 20 people to get back to you, let's say 20, you're going to double your sales. No matter how much you don't improve, you can stay the same for your whole life, but if all you improve upon is getting people to get back to you, mathematically, you will double, triple, quadruple your sales simply by stimulating interest in one respect: to get people to get back to me. Now, what happens, the more people that get back to us, the better we get at sales. Because the more we practice something, the better we get. And even if we aren't intentional about the other steps and how to get better at sales and how to articulate a quantitative value to exceed what we're asking for and how to utilize credibility, emotional attachment, impactful quantitative reasons, as well as the capability as an arsenal to add value. Even if that goes over your head today, it won't effing matter, because if all I do today is teach you how to get people to get back to you, you'll double, triple, quadruple the amount of money you make. And you'll get better at sales. It's that easy. Yep.
Now, one thing, get back, is with us, it would be relative to get people to stop, to speak to us.
Right, correct. And everyone would have to define what that means in person, on the phone, via email, social media, etc. With the objective of building a community of people that want to help each other and know people that can help each other. Because that's what creates the exponentiality of thriving. All great companies have people that buy from them for life and sell for them for life. Let's take Apple, for example. I was CEO of Samsung's phone division, which is why I got hired to be CEO of the most notable sports agency, because they were looking for someone that had a law degree, understood sports, but understood technology, because they saw the future of sports being in technology. As the CEO of Samsung's first phone division, you would think that I would be biased towards Samsung's products. I was a big IBM computer user, a big Samsung user of my phone. I'm sitting on an airplane. Some guy opens up his Macintosh. I'm waiting for my IBM ThinkPad to boot up with all the viruses, and the battery's going down as it keeps on circling on the plane. And this guy is opening and closing his Mac, and it's booting up immediately. And I finally look over him and I said, "Man, I wish I was an artist or a teacher like you." He said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Well, you know, that's the only people that can use Macintosh, because I'd save a ton of time if I could use that thing for business." And he said, "You can. There's Word, there's PowerPoint, there's Excel on here." I'm like, "Really?" And that guy not only sold me my first Mac, but I've spent millions of dollars in my career on Apple computers, Apple iPhones, Apple AirPods. Not only have I bought millions of dollars of products for my entire life now, but I've sold them to other people, telling them, "Hey, have you tried this? The new iPhone, the titanium, have you tried this?" I was the CEO of Samsung's phone division. That's what you want in your career, is people who buy from you and sell for you for life. And the only way you can get them is to practice getting people to get back to you. Stimulate interest. Now, most people make the mistake in step number one of stimulate interest is they try to sell on an answering machine. They try to sell on a message. They try to sell on an email. Remember, selling doesn't happen. It's stimulating interest for one reason, to get back to you, so then you can transition that interest into a shared vision, which is selling. Too many people get confused. Has anybody ever bought something when somebody left a message? You just listen to the message and you're like, "Shit, here's my credit card," right off the answering machine. Yeah, nobody. Oh, we got one sucker right there. Awesome. That's crazy. But you know how many messages you get from people selling you, either on the phone or selling you via email, instead of what? Trying to stimulate interest. So what do we do to get people to get back to us? Instead of selling, we want to provide value. We want to be more interested than interesting. The best way to get someone back is to say, "Hey, I'm calling. I'm interested in what you do. I'm interested in buying what you're selling." People are like, "Oh, what happens when they call you?" Look, I'll buy anything. It's just a matter of price. Right? You tell me what you're selling. I can call you and say, "Hey, I'm interested in buying your vitamins." And then you call me back. How many people would call someone back if they called you and said, "Hey, I'm interested in buying your products"? Anybody call that person back? How many people call me back if I said, "Hey, I'm selling one-on-one business coaching. My name's Dave Meltzer. I'm one of the world's best business coach. Call me back." Very few of you would call me back. You might look me up and then call me back. But I've spent a lot of time, money, and success in transitioning interest that way by having another way of transitioning interest. I want you all to realize that you have the capability of being more interested than interesting and reaching thousands of people every single hour and getting them to get back to you. Step one, we only have an objective of stimulating interest to get people to get back to us in person, on the phone, via email and media. Step two, what do we do when they do get back to us? Well, we want to transition the interest that they have in why they're getting back to us into what we want to share. And so in order to do so, I've created an open-ended question template in order to facilitate that transition of interest. It's a really easy way to take someone that's calling because they think you want to buy what they have and transition them into buying what you have. And so the number one thing that we want to do in transitioning interest is save time. Because you're going to have so many people getting back to you when you use this technique. You're going to have so many people that are getting back to you, either by email, by media, by phone, by text. They're going to be getting back to you. And so you need to be efficient with time. And the number one time saver, whether it's in person, on the phone, via email, or media, is to only talk to open minds. Run away from a closed mind. So you need to ask questions if you're not in person. If you're in person, it's even easier because you can smile at someone, you can make fun of them, you can look them in the eye. You know whether they're receptive or open-minded. Remember, open-minded people have open hearts and open hands. Those are easy people to share a vision or to sell. Closed-minded people take a minimum of 1,000 times the effort, energy, intelligence to sell. So why waste your time? It's not the old days. You don't live in the world I lived in. I'm old. We only had a few at-bats. You can, look, I got a huge, huge following now, right? I can get to probably 1 million people in a day. 1 million people in one day. Now, I don't do that because I couldn't handle the amount of people that would call me back if I went out to 1 million people and say, hey, the first one to call me back, I want to buy your shit. Do you know how many people would get back to me? And then I would just sift through as many as I could to find an open mind. But if you're in person, it's easy. You know, you can say, hey, you know, Jess, did you buy that hat on sale? Yes. And he laughs, right? You know he has an open mind. If he wants to kick my ass, you know he has a closed mind. Run the other way. So we want to ask open-ended questions to figure out first, not if they want to buy, simply do you have an open mind? Just you have an open mind. Because if you don't, just say, hey, it's not the right time. I'll call you back when it is. Or call me back when it is the right time. Just right off the bat. Open minds, open hearts, and open hands. Too many people, they keep on going after the closed mind. Now, I have a 3-no rule about an open mind. Because I believe everyone has an open mind at a certain time. And I also know something special about people that are more closed-minded than open-minded, that if you catch someone that's closed-minded that has an open mind, statistically, you're way more successful. Do you know why? Because they don't have many options. See, if somebody, the majority of the time, they're not like me, right? I have a really open mind. So I have so many options all day long to make choices. So I'm always interested in helping everyone. And then you're like, great, help me. Well, I got to go down a list of all the things to prioritize because I have an open mind. If you can catch someone with a closed mind, when they have an open mind, they're all yours. They don't have very many things because most of the time they have a closed mind. So when you get them with an open mind, you got them. So I use a 3-no rule where I call back and say, hey, is this the right time? No. Is this the right time? No. When it is the right time, on the third, right, call me back. 50% of the time, you accelerate the sale. 50% of the time, when you leave a message, hey, this obviously isn't the right time, call me back when it is, 50% of the time, they call you back now because it was just a matter of time to prioritize you in the options and the opportunities that they have. And 50% of the time, which is more valuable, they never call you back. in this room, you all have wasted millions of dollars trying to chase closed minds. Millions of dollars. Because your ego is telling you, I can sell that guy. Why isn't he calling me back? He told me he was going to buy on Friday. And now it's 6 years later and it's still Friday. Like, why do we do that? It's the stupidest thing. By the third time, I'm like, dude, it's not the right time. When it is, call me back. 50% of the time, they call me back. 50% of the time, they never hear from him again. Thank goodness. Transition interest by one, finding an open mind, and then two, utilizing the three no rule to make sure that you found someone with an open mind, and then three, ask open-ended questions. So, for example, you guys sell vitamins, is that right? Is that one of the things you sell?
Therapeutic pads.
Yeah. Perfect. So I like to ask open-ended questions like, what do you know about therapeutic pads? What do you know about solar? What do you know about car insurance? Right? Start out with that's an open-ended question to get them talking about the subject matter that you're selling. You're selling tires? Hey, what do you know about tires? What kind of tires do you have? I don't know. Yeah, most people don't know what kind of tires. Do you know what they do? What season of tires? Oh, I don't really know. What do you like about your tires? The price. What don't like you like about the tires? They wear out really fast and have to replace them, or they don't have a warranty. So what do we do with the therapeutic pads or any other product? We just are curious. Again, more interested than interesting on an open mind. What are you doing today, basically? Tell me about what you know, don't know, and then get an emotional attachment by asking what do you like and what don't you like. Let me give you a secret about value. So value is the key to sharing a vision. And we need to understand value. And in order to sell, we need to be able to explain how we're giving more value than we're asking for. Right? So an example, I think last time I was here, right? I said, who here has $20? Anybody here have $20? You raise your hand first. Can you come up here? What's your name? Oh, I couldn't hear. I'm old.
Angelina,
my angel. Come on up here. Give her a big round of applause. Did you bring the
$20? Oh, you need the 20, like,
oh,
cash?
I need cash, yeah.
I got Apple Pay.
Oh, no Apple Pay. Who has 20 cash? Come on up here. What's your name?
Ryan.
Brian with a B?
Brian with a B.
Let's give him a big round of applause. All right. Yeah. All right. You got $20 cash? Can I have this?
Yes.
Thank you. Would you accept $100 for your 20?
Yes.
Why?
It's more than 20.
There you go. Thank you. All right. So go B. Go Brian. Okay. So why do we make sales so difficult? Like, why are we making it so difficult? Honestly, we can get 1,000 people in less than an hour to communicate with us. All we have to do is get more of those 1,000 people to call us back. We then have to determine whether you have an open mind or a closed mind. Then we just have to be curious and ask them, hey, what are you doing today about what I'm calling about? What do you like and what don't you like about it? Why do we ask that? Because there's only two ways to give value, to explain value. One, I'm going to give you more of what you like. If I give you more of what you like, it's called value. And there's only one other way to provide value. I'm going to take away what you don't like. I don't like the cold. Here's a jacket. Oh, value. I'm effing hot. Let me take your jacket. This is not rocket science. I would like to give you $100. Would you like to give me 20 for my 100? Yes. Why? Because I'm articulating value. I like money. Therefore, I will give you more money for less money. This is all you have to do. There's so many salespeople out there at every single level that are confusing themselves because no one's told them the truth about how you build a community of people that help each other and know people that can help each other that will buy from you for life and sell for you for life. Because every one of those people that you give the $100 to, hey, Brian, come back up here for 1 second. I got a question. I got about $600 million.
Okay,
can you help me give away my money and change out $100 for 20 for as many people as you meet?
Yes.
Why?
Because you gave me 100.
Thank you. I don't care if it's therapeutic pads or vitamins or cars or tires or solar, whatever it is, that's all we're doing. And everyone's trying to pull a blanket over your head and make this shit confusing and complex. And it's not. If you're going to practice anything, practice getting people to get back to you. Find out if they have an open mind. Use the 3 no rule to determine if it's the right time. And then ask questions about what they're doing today pertaining to hats or shoes or therapeutic pads and find out what they like or don't like so you can tell them, hey, what if I gave you more of what I like or took away more of what you don't like and gave you $100 for it and took 20? Because that's the only way you'll know how to get to the 120. Or 1,020. It just depends on their emotions, right? People buy on emotions. If I really like McDonald's and I'm starving, that Happy Meal is worth more than $3.99. We see it all the time on StockX, on eBay, right? Beanie Babies. Why is it? Because we know what they like. And the less, right? It's just exchange. So stimulate interest, transition interest by finding an open mind and finding out what they like and don't like by being more interested than interesting. Don't feature and benefit dump right on an answering machine. Get them to call you back. Don't feature and dump to try to transition them with features and benefits. Ask them questions. An open mind with an open heart and open hands. Hey, you like money? I will give you more money for less money. Does that sound fair? Yes. But we need to know what they like and don't like. And people that have open minds love to talk about what they like and what they don't like to make it really easy for us to provide value. Value of giving them more of what they like, taking away what they don't like. And in the therapeutic pad, you guys know exactly what people like and don't like, but you don't have to dump the features and benefits on and just assume that they like the same thing about the pad that you like about the pad. You don't have to assume. You can just ask an open mind and they'll tell you. And now the third step, share a vision. So if we're able to articulate, here's more of what you like, or here's less, I'm gonna take away what you don't like. Now I have to do the math for them to say, from what you've told me, this is the value of the therapeutic pad. It's able to take away your back pain. You told me if your back didn't hurt, you could spend more time with your grandkids. You also told me that spending time with your grandkids is priceless to you. Can you see any reason you won't want to buy this for X amount for something priceless, like an extra 3 hours a day lifting up and giving your grandson a piggyback ride that will bond him forever? Because what you told me, you love your grandkids more than, oh, so I'm going to give you more of what you like. You see how this works? And it's not hard. People are fooling you. They make themselves feel important by making sales hard. You're just building a community of people that you can help and know people that you can help. And every grandma in the world is going to go tell every other grandma in the world when she's carrying her grandson around going, how the hell are you doing that at 70 years old? Oh, I got this killer therapeutic pad that has reduced the inflammation in my lower back, which has allowed me to have the strength in order to carry my grandson. Look at this picture. Oh, another sale. Them selling for you. What's the name of that guy? Oh, he was so nice. It was Brian. He kept on giving me hundreds and only taking 20 back. You feel me? That's what I'm talking about. That's how we share a vision. Now, I want to tell you, when we share that vision, I have some ways that I like to close, right? Like, can you see from what you've told me about this pad, from what you told me what you like and what you don't like, can you see any reason you won't want to move forward? Now, most people, when they tell you, yes, I want to move forward, I can't see any reason I won't want to move forward. Dude, you're giving me a $100 bill and I'm only giving you 20 back. I can't see any reason I won't want to do that. You guaranteed it was real. My only insecurity. Well, most people are done. Most people are done in step three because they don't know the power of building a community of people that help each other and know people that can help each other. They don't know a power of people that will buy from you for life and sell for you for life. And so they cheat themselves and say, I'm done. He said yes. She said yes. We said yes. Well, first of all, just because someone says yes doesn't mean the deal's done. Right? Anybody ever have a customer tell you yes and the deal not go through? Well, we got some honest people here. It happens all the time. So we stimulated interest. We transitioned interest. We shared a vision. They've articulated to us, I can't see any reason I don't want to buy. But yet they don't buy because of time. So the fourth step, you're only 20% of the way done in my system, 1, 2, 3. You might even think it was 60 if it was 20. You're not. It's 20% done to get to there. 80% of the deals are lost after someone has said yes. 80% of deals are lost after someone has said yes. So let's turn that statistic to your favor. I'm already changing the statistics by getting more people to call you back, only dealing with open-minded people, only asking open-ended questions about what they like and what they don't like. Now let's change the odds again. 80% of the people, after they say yes, don't move forward. So let's change those odds. Let's create a go, no, go plan. Let's manage and develop a vision of a verbal commitment. Does anyone know what signifies a closing of a deal? There's one thing that signifies a closing of a deal. Payment. Thank you. Woo, say it again.
Payment. Show me the money.
Show me the money. They should do a movie about that. Yeah, I don't know why so many salespeople lie to themselves and say, I got so many deals done. 80% of selling is getting paid. So let me help you get paid. Because that's what we're selling for, to get paid. A go, no go plan is a simple way of confirming what people agree to do after they say yes. And it's a simple email these days, or it could be a simple, you know, text message or a voice. It's just some indication of, okay, after I get off the phone, here's what's going to happen. You told me to call you on Thursday, or you told me to email you right now. You're going to hit the link and whatever it is, list it out with the time that they agreed upon. Because if they don't meet the time frame in which they agreed upon when they told you yes, implement the three no rule again. So you told me to call you back on Friday about buying the pad. I call on Friday. Nobody answered. One no. I called on Saturday. Told me you were busy with the kids. Two no's. I called on Monday out of respect to Sunday. And you had some other lame excuse. I leave you a message. Hey, even though you told me this is something that you wanted to do, obviously this isn't the right time. Call me when it is. 50% of those people will call you back and it will accelerate them calling you back. And about 50% of the people you'll never hear from again. So I now cut the 80% that don't go through from saying yes to 40%. I'm giving you a 40% better closing ratio. You'll see. All you've done is accelerated the sales cycle and utilized time in your favor instead of time as a disadvantage. You've created a compelling event for those people that are actually interested, and you've given an out to the people that are too afraid to say no. Half of the people that say yes are afraid to say no. Half the people that don't go through that say yes, it's because time passes and they have too many different things that happen that now deprioritize their yes, and they end up saying no. They end up wasting your time. That thing just on an amplified scale compared to somebody telling you yes and too afraid to say no. It's okay. Because now you know a concrete, systematic way to increase your statistical success and not waste time and not get emotionally attached to wondering, why didn't they call me back? It's so hard. My wife told me, so she plays tennis, and she has a tennis partner that played doubles. And she was explaining to another friend, you know how this country club bullshit goes. I grew up poor, so I really don't know how this goes. But this is what I've seen, right? These ladies with nothing better to do than run around and chasing a tennis ball, they then talk shit about each other, and they're playing like D-level tennis, right? My wife's 55 like me, super hot, super in shape, but shitty at tennis. And this is on video, so she's going to love this one. But right, they all talk shit about, like, but they pretend like, you know, like teenagers, like they pretend like they're not talking shit, but they're talking shit about, well, her serve is this, and, you know, if, you know, I carried her, you know, like, she talks shit about me when I play with her. He sits there like Donkey Kong in the front, just hitting. He doesn't run. You know, this is, anyway, she obviously was talking shit about her doubles partner, and her doubles partner all of a sudden didn't call her back. Just like when somebody says yes, and they don't call us back. So she's like, oh my God, why isn't she calling me back? What if so-and-so told her what I said about her serve? Or, you know, all the stuff that we go through. And what happens? The lady called her back and she had left her phone, was off, or some logical reasons. Think about how often you can't or don't call someone back. Why waste the emotional energy? When you leave a message, hey, this isn't the right time, call me back when it is, you give an out to the people that are too afraid to say no, and you accelerate the people whose phones, you know, were lost, they had a flat tire, they had to pick up the kids from school, some logical reason that they're not calling you back. But how much time, emotion, value, relationship, and sales have you wasted worrying about why that person isn't calling you back? And then it creates anxiety, and you either call back too much or you don't call back enough. And it's a waste of emotion that you could be using on what? Getting more people to call you back, because you can get to about 1,000 people an hour. This is the crux of all sales. This stuff is simple. Practice getting people to call you back. Practice saying, hey, I'm interested in what you're doing. Call me back. I'm interested in buying what you have. Call me back. Transition that interest. Hey, have you ever heard of therapeutic pads? You ever use anything? You have, you know, any injuries? You know, what are you doing today for it? What do you like? What don't you like? Give them more of what they like. Take away what they don't like. Articulate that value with the reasons, impacts, and capabilities that you have. Use your features and benefits as an arsenal. Oh, you know, you want to carry your kids. You want to be able to jog again. You want to get up in the morning without pain. Whatever it is, find out. Terrific, because I can give you more of that. I can take away that pain. And then when they say yes, create a plan, manage and develop the plan. If they don't go by the plan, use the 3 no rule. On the third no, say, this isn't the right time, call me when it is. And as you statistically gain all of these opportunities and close more of these opportunities by using this simple thing, there'll be more people that buy from you and sell for you. And we all know the easiest sales are when somebody else has sold them for us. Pick up one extra person selling for us every week, 50 extra people a year, 102 years selling for us. Each one of those people sell two people who sell for us, and so on and so on and so on. If anyone in here is having difficult selling, just stick to the basics. Trust it. Practice getting more people to call you back. Don't do anything else. It'll double your sales if you get twice as many people to call you back or get back to you. Stop there. Then get into the transitioning of interest to figure out, how do I find out what people like and don't like? And then figure out how I articulate the $100 of value and only show them it costs 20 to get 100 or more. In your business, way more. And then create a plan. If they don't stick to the plan, use the 3-no rule. Increase 100% of the people that, after they say yes, close. Think about everyone in your life that has said yes to you but didn't follow through. Imagine if half of them actually followed through where you would be today. From today on, that's going to be your life. Quantitatively, that's what thriving is. Building this community of people that want to help each other and know people help each other, because you have a systematic calmness, a way to know, I'm not worried. It's just a matter of doing this and building the numbers. And it starts with what? Getting people to get back to me. In person, on the phone, via email, and social media. When I'm training young people, I tell them, just think about this. Whatever you're doing today, if you get one more person to get back to you in person, one more person to get back to you on the phone, one person to do it by email, and one person to do it via media. Four people, that's 28 people a week. That's 112 people a month. 112 people a month getting back to you. If you close 10% of those, that's about 11 people a month. That's just getting one person to get back to you in each of those ways. Do you know how easy that is? The truth is, you probably have to regulate how many people you want to get back to you, because we have so many people to contact with what you guys do. You're not selling G5s.
Jet,
private, $6 to $10 million purchase.
Shoot, I mean, we should try.
You can't. Well, it's easier. I think it is, because of social media. Come with me. With social media, think about it. It's so easy to find people who fly private. That wasn't the case when I was young. So easy to find people that fly private and ask them, "Hey, what are you doing today for your private aircraft? Would it help you if I did this? Would it help you if I did this? What if I took away that problem? Can you see any reason you won't want to fly private with me?" It doesn't matter what you're selling. The Five to Thrive system is guaranteed to work. And you only have to focus in on the first step first, then the second. You automatically will get the number of people that get back to you, you automatically will get percentage-wise that many sales. So if you close 1 in 10 and you get 100 more people to get back to you, you'll have 10 more sales without getting better at sales. It's just the numbers game. But when you get hyper-focused and utilize the mathematical equation of luck, pay attention to what you want, give intention to what you want, do it, say it, think it, believe it, and feel it, it'll equal the coincidences that you want, the karma, the luck. That's the only difference between lucky people and other people, is they pay attention to what they want, the Five to Thrive. They think, say, do, believe, and feel, the Five to Thrive. And then they get the coincidences that they want, the karma and the luck that they want, or better. The people that think about what's missing, what they don't have, and what they can't sell, get exactly what they want. What they don't want, what they can't have, what other people want for them. What other people say. You will never overachieve your own self-image. You'll never overachieve your own self-image. So if you exist in the world of I'm worried about what people will think about me. I'm worried, instead of I am. I live my life, I am happy, I am healthy, I am wealthy, I am worthy. I just figure out what I'm doing to interfere with it. Not I'm worried about what people think I am. I'm going to finish up and then take a couple questions. In the realm of just following this system, I did some consulting for Home Depot. Home Depot has three different checkouts. They have garden, they have four actually, garden, they have consumer, they have contractor checkout, and automatic. And they wanted to understand how the Five to Thrive could help with the checkouts of asking, you know, getting them to respond back, because they were going to start selling warranties, like Best Buy sells warranties on their TVs and appliances. Well, Home Depot was going to do it for their appliances and their tools and things that they can, electronics that they have. Do you know what checkout sold three times the total of the other three checkouts? Anybody want to guess what checkout? Contractors? Anyone else? So who said self-check? Yeah. You know why? Because at the garden and the consumer and the contractor checkout was a person. And the person, no matter what you taught them, wouldn't follow the Five to Thrive. So they'd look at you and say, oh, he's too rich, he won't buy it. Oh, she's too poor, she won't buy it. Oh, she's too much in a hurry, he has kids. Oh, he looks mean, she's too nice. Looks like he has a cold, looks like she is too tall. This person has a dog. They would just make up an excuse not to ask. Not to ask. But what does the automatic checkout do every time? Yeah. With no personality. It just says, would you like a 3-year, 4-year, or 5-year warranty? Click here. Three times the amount of sales compared to all three human beings working the other checkouts. Imagine if the human being could be disciplined to get people to call us back, to transition interest, to share a vision, manage and develop a vision, use the 3-no rule, the go, no go plan in order to thrive. Imagine what we could do. Because we have personality. We can find out what people like and don't like. And as much as the computer does three times, we could do nine times if we asked every time, if we followed the plan. Don't reinvent the wheel. I've paid the dummy tax. 35 years I've been selling. 35 years I've been rejected. Don't reinvent it. Let me pay the most expensive tax. Forget people laugh at me for living in California. I'm like, it's a weather tax. It's nothing. 12%. I don't care. Try the dummy tax. I lost over $100 million. But I learned the lessons to make even more, help more people, and have more fun now, 15 years later. Because I follow a plan. I ask for help. I build a community of people that want to help each other, know people that can help each other. That's what you guys have here. Build a community of people that will buy from you for life and sell for you for life. I promise you, you will make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun. And if you do that, I promise you'll live a happy, healthy, wealthy, worthy life, passion, purpose, and profitability for everything that you want, and be able to provide others what they want as well. I appreciate the time. Do I have time for some questions, Jess? And I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Yeah, maybe, can you hand that to people? And can you get a video of the people taking questions? All right, perfect. Yeah.
Okay, David, so I have a question from last year. We have a private meeting with the president's team. We asked you, what's the quickest way that we could get to a $100 million company? And your answer was fire quick, because out of 1,000 or out of 100 people that you hire, you're only going to get 20 aces. So can you explain that and construct that in the sense from a new person's point of view, why that's going to help us accelerate and how they can be part of that 20% and not the 80?
Yeah. So why do I fire fast? It's the same reason that I only look for open minds. 80% of your customers will bankrupt you. People don't even look at that when they're qualifying their pipeline with closed mind, right? Closed minds will bankrupt you. And if we haven't aligned the people that work with us, meaning what skills do they have and what knowledge do they have first? When you have and are building a team, make sure that their skills and knowledge are synergistic, supplementary, or aligned with the business objectives, because your skills and knowledge are your basement. And there's some people that their skills and knowledge are just not ready yet to do what you want them to do, the objectives of what you have. A good analogy is if I wanted to play in the NBA, as much as I had the biggest desire in the world, the greatest attitude in the world, my basement in basketball is too low. And so the coach would be doing me a favor if he cut me. He'd be, right? And he'd say, look, use that desire somewhere else. So the first thing that we look for when we fire fast is evaluating the skills and knowledge that someone has to make sure the basement's high enough in order to achieve the objectives that we're looking to achieve. Because we get trapped into this nice guy thing that, man, I love that guy. I love her. She is the nicest person in the world. She shows up early. She leaves late. She's willing to do anything. He'll lie in front of a bus for me. But he can't do it. I cannot shoot a basketball. It doesn't matter how nice I am. That's not going to win games. So you're doing me a favor by cutting me. And yes, it will hurt my feelings. It will hurt my feelings. So the first realm that we want to look at is cut fast. Skills and knowledge, I'm sorry, but your basement's too low right now. Go back to the G League practice. That's it. Now, the more difficult one is the eagle problem. Skills and knowledge are way up here. I call it, one of the guys I represented with Lee is Ryan Leaf. His basement, way up here. I played college football. I could practice from now until eternity and not be as good as Ryan Leaf because my basement's here and my delta would never get to where his basement is. He's so good. But he didn't nearly have the delta or the desire that I have. So Tom Brady was better than him. Peyton Manning was better than him. Even though those guys' basements were lower than Ryan Leaf, his desire wasn't big enough, and Tom Brady's desire was too big, and Joe Montana and all those guys are better than them. That's what makes Steph and LeBron and those guys so good, is their basements are so high, but they also, like Kobe, their deltas were huge. That's what makes the best ever. So we fire fast for people when their skills and knowledge aren't aligned with where they want to be or better, but we also have to evaluate, do they have the desire? And there's five things that I look at in order to, as a criteria, to figure out these things. One, straight out sales. I'm sorry, you're in business, and even if someone is a Ryan Leaf still started in the NFL. Why? Because he was making the sales. He was creating the revenue. So, you know, I take a person that's hitting the number or better, they can stay on my team. My job is to bring the best out of them to get that delta so that they bring and live to their potential. But they're not fired. Sales is one of those criterias that determine whether or not I fire you. Two, asking for help. So if I know you have the skills and knowledge, but you're not asking for help and you're not hitting your sales number, then I'm going to get rid of you. Because you will not get there without asking for help. The fastest way to get to where you want to be is to ask someone that's already there for directions. Five to thrive. Ask them for directions. The other way to get there is to help someone else get to where they want to be. Those are the two ways where you can get to where you want to be. But if they're not asking questions and not hitting their number, see you later, alligator. Three. Engagement and accessibility. If they're not engaged in the business or accessible, you're calling them and you never get a hold of them. They're not engaged, right? They're rolling their eyes, they're falling asleep when, like, you're in front of the most dynamic speaker you've ever seen in your life, David Meltzer, and you're sleeping. That means you're not engaged. No, no one's sleeping. I'm David Mills, God damn it. Nobody's sleeping. Show me the money.
Show me the money.
Exactly. No. So, but engagement and accessibility. And we lie to ourselves, right? Because I have people on my team, unbelievable skills and knowledge, and it's like no engagement and no accessibility. Are they better than some people on my team? Yeah, because they're so talented. Now, if all they did was sales, I'd be fine with it. It'd be my, because, right, my business model is you hit this number, you're profitable for me. I just got to go find somebody else and pour into them. But engagement and accessibility is an absolute. The next one, I call it student of your calendar. How productive, accessible, and gracious are they with their time? Right, there's some grinders out there that are just, they put in more time and are more efficient with time. They may have lower skills and knowledge, but they're putting in the time. They're using their time to be productive, to be accessible, and to be gracious. But if they're not, see you later, alligator. They're not going to get there. And then the fifth one is really important to me, and it was the hardest one. I call it lying to themselves. If you get a person on your team that is lying to themselves, that means they're lying to other people. You can't give what you don't have. And you know these people. They're lying to themselves. They're also lying to you. And the first indicator for me is when I catch someone in a lie, I know, first of all, if I catch you in a lie, you're lying to yourself. I also know if I catch you in the lie, that there's about 9 other lies I haven't caught you in. I'm not that good. I'm not an inspector. I'm not spending my whole day looking to see how many times you're lying. So if I catch you, there's about 9 other times that you've lied, not just to me, but worse, to yourself. And if somebody keeps lying to themselves, there's nothing I can do about it. Bye-bye, McFly. Right? I'm surrounding myself with the right people and the right ideas. I'd rather spend my time getting more people to call me back than to deal with somebody that's not selling, not asking questions, not accessible, engaged, not using time, and lying to themselves. Believe it or not, in my company, I give grades every month on those 5 things. And I bonus off of those grades every month. I take a percentage of the net profit of my business, and I say everyone that gets a 3.5 to a 4.0 in an A through F system, that was cut, none of this 5 points for an A, there's no AP here. I know you guys are young. My school, it was 4.0, that was all you could get. Not this 4.8 or whatever bullshit that the kids have today. Just 4.0, 3.5 or above, you get this percentage of the net. 3.0 to 3.5, you get this percentage of the net profit of the business. 3.0 and below, you're on performance improvement. You should at least be a B in that criteria. A B in sales, a B in time, a B in accessibility and engagement, a B in asking for help, and a B in lying. So somebody can lie and still be really good and get bonus because they can get a B in lying.
Would you consider that people that exaggerate?
Yeah. And look, I am genetically and energetically, I've inherited the bullshitter gene. So I'm tend to oversell, back-end sell, lie, manipulate, and cheat for no reason. Not intentionally, right? Just no reason. It's like, I had a friend who said, you know, we have a charity and it's in 233 countries and there's only 183 countries. Right? That's the kind of shit that I used to do. This is so stupid. Luckily, my wife, when I went through my transformation, one of the things I asked her to do is call me on my bullshit. So, like, I'll be at dinner with really important people. I'm like, yeah. You know, I opened up a studio in Orange County. I do my movies and TV shows out of there. My wife's like, he doesn't own it. Well, I partnered in it and I own 3%. Yeah, 3%. Right? She wants to make sure that I'm breaking the chain of bullshit. And so I try to do that with my employees as well. Do we have time for one more question? Anyone?
Brian, Daniel, Margie.
Oh, right back there.
What's your best advice on like approaches towards handling customer objections?
Yeah. So objections to me are, I take accountability for objections. That means I haven't explained, right, the value. So for example, if I said, Brian, if I give you $100, will you give me 20 back? No. What? No, I won't give it back. Why? Because you're a bullshitter. Well, I haven't reached credibility. I know that. So there's no objection there. It's just, now can I communicate credibility of, I understand, what was it that I said that seemed to be bullshit to you? Well, it just doesn't seem realistic that you would give me $100 cash and take 20 cash. What if I was able to show you that it was real? Would that help my credibility and change your mind? Would it help you if, is another way to say it. Would it help you if I showed you this was real? Would it help you if? Another great one is, do you know anyone that can help me? So I don't try to overcome objections. I try to articulate value to dissolve and dissipate the doubt of the lack of credibility. So the number one thing in sales is credibility. If you're 100% credible, everybody will do everything you ask. It's very hard, if not impossible, to be 100% credible. If I was, I could stand here today and say, hey, everyone, here's my wiring instructions. Find $1 million in the next week. I will wire you back $2 million in 1 week. And if I was 100% credible, all of you would find $1 million. If I was 100% credible. For sure. But I'm not. But what we can do is try to be as credible as possible in order to facilitate a greater statistical success. Two, part of the five to thrive, emotional attachment. People buy on emotion for logical reasons. So they buy because they're dreaming about carrying their grandson on their back. Therefore, you're credible enough to know that the therapeutic pad that you're selling will help heal the back so that they then can carry their grandson. But it's really the emotional attachment, the infinite value of being able to carry their grandson on their back that sold the therapeutic pad. People buy on emotion for logical reasons. People buy on emotions for logical reasons for people that are credible in the logic that they've given, the quantitative analysis. There is no overcoming a closed mind or resistance. There's simply dissipating the resistance by showing credibility or emotional attachment and articulating value of more of what they like or less of what they don't like. This is just a system. Now, I'm going to be doing a meetup out there on your break. I'll be answering more questions out there. I got people from the community meeting me as well. Write down my email address. I'm going to send you the Five to Thrive exercise so you don't have to remember everything I said or watch the videos. I answer my email myself. Just say, Dave, I want the Five to Thrive exercise. I also have another book, if you want it, that I'll send you. I'll pay for shipping and the book. Don't worry. You guys have been great. So my email is David. Oh, it's right there. David@dmeltzer.com. And my other socials right there, my name, David Meltzer. So you can take a picture of that. And if you need any other help, I'm happy as well. Email's the one that I answer for sure myself. My daughter does play around in my IG if it gets crazy. You know, I have millions of followers on all the platforms total. So it's hard with all the people that get back to me when you teach getting back. But I do answer all my own emails. So if you want it to be me, email me. If you want it to be my daughter, go ahead, DM me. It's your choice. The same result. She's cool. Yes, sir. Yeah. And I'll send those to you, everyone, as well. So the five ways to fire fast are the five things that I grade. Number one, sales. Right. If you can't perform, if I can't dunk a basketball, if I can't score, fire me, cut me. Two, asking for help. 3, time, productivity, accessibility, and gratitude of time, student of the calendar. 4, engagement and accessibility. And 5, lying to yourself. Those are the 5 things. All right, everybody stand up real quick, and I'll tell you why. This is, you guys are so well-dressed, I have to do this. So, okay, when I first started speaking, anybody here want to be a speaker someday? All right, cool, good. I love coaching speakers. So here's a beginning speaker trick, all right? It's one of my favorite ones that I use, and it only works with video. So here's how it goes. Who here loves their mom? All right, good. I want you all to cheer for your mom. I want you to cheer for your mom. Show me how much you love your mom. Let's hear it. Who here loves their mom? One more time. Who here loves their mom? Thank you so much. You've been a great crowd. Okay, see, what I just did was I staged a perfect video so that when other people want to hire me to speak, they're like, holy shit, who gets a standing ovation like that? As if it was how much they love their mom. That's how much they were cheering for him. So all you new speakers out there, when you don't have a brand and people won't stand up and cheer, make them stand up and make them cheer like they love their mom. Get the video and then show it to the world as if you are the reason that they're cheering. Thank you so much.
That was great, man. Amazing. Thank you.
Of course. Anything you need.